I am Sarah. I'm a food addict. I'm really, really grateful to be able to be here this morning and to even do this tape. And just to share, whenever I tell my story, I have to remember that it's not about me. It's about the gift of this program and what God and this program has done for me through the gift of this program. And I never in a million years thought I would be saying that. That when I came into this program, it was, I think, 17 years ago, I think I started coming around. And I really thought that doing program like I do it today, and that I've done it for 13 years, which is weighing, measuring 3 meals a day, not eating flour and sugar, not eating between meals, getting on my knees in the morning, asking God for an absent day, saying the first 3 steps, you know, calling someone every single day in the beginning with telling them my food, going to, in the beginning, 4 meetings a week, now 3 meetings a week, getting back down on my knees at the end of the day to thank God, and making phone calls to complete strangers to talk about food. Like, if someone told me, like, it's the thing I didn't want to be my life, and I thought it was going to be the end of my life. I really did. And what I found 13 years ago when I finally got a sponsor and surrendered, I found my life began. Really, I started living. And I guess my story is that my top weight was 190 pounds. And that was when I was in the 8th grade. And I'm almost 37 now. So, and I've been, what I do know is that I've been at all ends of this disease. I was never anorexic because I could never bring myself to not eat. But I've definitely been, you know, my top weight was 190 pounds. I've also been, you know, I weigh about a little under 130 right now. I've been lower than this. But I've been overweight and I've been too thin, and what I know is that this disease is not about being fat or thin. What I have found through the years is that this disease is mental, spiritual, physical, and that I'm just not normal around food. What this disease is about for me is my abnormal relationship with my food and my body weight. And I really believe I got crazier thin than I ever was fat. Absolutely. As a kid, food, I mean, I love that when we read The Tool of Writing, it says, in the past, eating was our most common reaction to life. Absolutely, like, that is my story. When the tough gets going, I open a bag of box to the refrigerator. And it got to the point when I got thin that I wasn't necessarily opening the bag of the box to the refrigerator, but my mind would just obsess about food. And when I was going to exercise, and when I was going to eat, and what a mental trap. So as a kid, it was sort of, I ate a lot. I grew up in a home with, I grew up in an alcoholic home. I had the gift of a mother who got into recovery young, but I didn't know what that was all about. And I resented this program. I resented 12-step programs for many, many years. But as a kid, my coping every family has something. Everyone has something. My way of dealing with that something was to eat. So I ate my way up to 190 pounds. Learned young to be all things to all people. Stuffed my feelings. Eventually, I wanted to be thin. You know, when you're going into 9th grade, you know, the Great American Popularity Contest. You want to be thin. And I was also an athlete, and it wasn't really cool to be an overweight athlete. So I lost weight at the end of my, eighth grade year. I lost weight by going on a diet. I loved it. I loved being a normal weight. Entered high school at a normal weight, but I will tell you that from the time that I lost that weight, so I went from like 190 to 140, 135, 140, which I swear I stayed at for a day, and then, but when I was on a diet, after I lost that weight, until the time I got into program and got a sponsor, which was probably 10 years later, I lived in sheer and utter fear of gaining my weight back. And the disease switched from one of just a physical, like when I was younger, I think I ate and got fat. It was sort of a more simple equation. But the insanity really began when I got thin, but was still obsessed with food, and I was still, I was still eating flour and sugar and addicted to it. And so I got down to I entered high school at a normal weight, but I lived in that sheer and utter fear of that 190 again. Like I never wanted to get back to 190. And slowly throughout high school, I hadn't surrendered the food. I was trying to control it. And I was binging on Weight Watchers treats. I was binging on, I was doing the whole binge and purge cycle. And I became bulimic, and I didn't do it for a long time, so I never really considered myself bulimic. And sort of this, my way of also dealing with things is to laugh it off, make a joke out of it. So my friend, I'd say to my friends, I just ate a bag of such and such, and then I threw it up. And we'd all laugh. And, meanwhile, in my head, I'm thinking, this is not normal that I am going into the bathroom with my mother in the kitchen, running water, and sticking a toothbrush down my throat. Like, that is not normal. But my other great thing is if I don't think about it, it will go away. And, that's how I dealt with my mother's alcoholism. And my mother was in recovery from the time I was 8. And it took me 15 years to tell anyone that my mother was a recovering alcoholic. So, food was a great way of stuffing that and sort of putting on the face to the world. And I think the hard thing about them becoming bulimic is that it's the big lie. I can walk around in a half-normal body and be absolutely insane. And I think what happened to me during high school, I played sports. That helped control my weight. I discovered alcohol, which allowed me, when I was a kid, I became the jolly fat kid. It's like I stuffed my feelings and presented funny fun to the world, which is who I believe I am at my core, but I never felt comfortable being that, and I needed something to help me along. To the extent I went on that diet and put the food down between 8th and 9th grade, I didn't have that cushion anymore of the food, but I then discovered alcohol in 9th grade, and it allowed me to be the jolly fat kid without having to eat all the time. But I controlled it. High school was just a lot of control. Playing soccer and it helped control it. And certainly throwing up helped control it a little bit. And exercise helped control it a little bit. And my mother, being this pillar of AA, helped me control my drinking because I was terrified of, I didn't want to come home to the nose, we used to call her, because she could sniff alcohol from miles away. Anyway, I went off to college. High school, I was sort of a big fish in a little pond, and I went, but never felt it. Never felt. It was a disease of fear, doubt, and insecurity. And food and alcohol were my props to keep me secure and in my own little community. But I never felt, even, I hung with the sort of the cool crowd, and I never felt cool. And I went away to college clueless as to how to live life. Absolutely no tools for living. I don't know why. I fear, riddled with fear, doubt, and insecurity, and presenting to the world that I was confident and that I didn't need help. And I got to college and sort of spiraled downward. Ate, drank, and be merry. I stuffed the feelings. I was terrified. No clue how to live life. None. And couldn't ask for help. And my way of coping was to eat. I ate and I drank. And I started eating my way through my first 2 years. I ate my way back up to 175, 180 pounds, which meant that 190 was like just looming there, terrified of getting back there. And so I felt like on this gerbil wheel of trying to, like, get myself back there, yet miserable and really feeling that big black hole in my soul of that needed to be stuffed and filled, and miserable at moments, and then, you know, just trying to fill it with food and also with alcohol. My drinking really took off in college as well. I remember by the end of my sophomore year, I couldn't get papers in. I was on a partial athletic scholarship. I was eating and drinking nights before soccer games. I was happy to be riding the bench. I was a soccer goalie, praying to God that they wouldn't put me in, praying that the bus would break down before games so I wouldn't have to play, terrified of making a mistake. And my relief was after the game, I'd go eat, or we'd all go out and get drunk. So the other thing is, oh, I'll get into a relationship. That'll fill that black hole. And got into a relationship with another food addict. I had to eat to be comfortable with him because I didn't really care for him too much. But, you know, I lived in that dishonesty for a year and a half. Great, you know, nice guy, but, you know, classic, pick a needy man and get him really dependent on you and then resent his dependency. But I had really low self-esteem. I was doing okay for a fat person. You know, for someone who was overweight, I had a boyfriend and isn't, you know, I thought that was sort of a measure. Anyway, I came home from college and, you know, during all this time, my mother was getting better in her own recovery. And I came home from college and she called me on it. She said, "You look awful. You absolutely look awful. What is wrong with you?" And, you know, I was puffy, I was fat, I was puffy from drinking, fat from having gained, you know, I entered college at 160, and by this time I was 180 or 185. So eventually something broke in me that summer, and I turned to my mother for help. And help. She had started going to OA at that time, and I was going into my junior year in college. Giving up drinking at that point was not an option. And somehow deep down inside, I knew that, you know, this eating thing was a real issue for me. But what I thought at that point was that I had a weight problem. I thought, you know, I just have a weight problem. And I still felt like that fat girl. I just felt like that fat little girl. That feeling never went away, even though I was, you know, for about a year, I was walking around in a relatively normal body. So my mother took me to OA meetings that summer, and I remember going into these huge meetings. They were the 90-day weigh-in measuring, no flour, no sugar meetings, and I came late, left early, sat in the back of the room, didn't talk to anyone, but I heard people, first of all, I heard people talking. I thought they were absolutely crazy. People have nothing better to do with their time than weigh and measure their food and talk about, I'm so grateful, and just, I didn't want this way of life, yet there was something in me that it resonated with. But I thought, and at the time, I thought what I really loved was the spirituality. And I actually liked the idea of weighing and measuring food. Like, that made sense. Okay, now I can have parameters around it. So I took a food plan. I took a few books in the spirituality, and I went off and I did program on my own for 4 years. And I would not. I'm glad I did it because I know it doesn't work. But what I didn't take at the time was the fellowship and a sponsor. I was willing to go to God, and I was willing to do this in private, but I was not willing to admit that I was a food addict. I thought I had a weight problem, and I just wouldn't ask for help. I was not willing to be vulnerable before another person in this. And what happened was, you know, this food plan works wonders. It is an amazing food plan, and I lost weight quickly doing my own version of OA and became my own sponsor, and I went from 180, you know, eventually I lost about 10 pounds or 15 pounds throughout the course of the summer, but when I got back to college, something like this control thing snapped in me, and I became pretty rigid about not eating flour and sugar. 3 meals a day. I was the only goalie on the soccer team. I was exercising like a banshee. And I also have to say, to the extent that I found God in a spirituality in that time, it worked. So I got back to college, and I went from, I'll say, 107, I lost like 30 pounds in a month and a half, which is not healthy. I lost my period. People were calling me anorexic. I loved it. I went from a size 14 to a size 6. I loved it. It's getting all sorts of attention. I loved it. I also was found God, and I loved it. So I was sort of on this pink cloud for a couple of years of, you know, when you're a junior in college and you're newly thin and you found God, it's like, woohoo! Mm-hmm. I wasn't eating flour and sugar pretty strictly, but remember, I was my own sponsor and making my own food plan, more or less. So I picked up a beer bottle, and it said barley malt hops ale. No flour, no sugar. Okay, I can not have a grain at dinner and have a 12-pack. And really, I rationalized that. And I am not kidding you. I believe that to the core of my being, that I was still abstinent, drinking lots of beer. And if I had wine coolers, it was my fruit. I mean, this is... But what happened was... So I got thin, and I was sort of doing the spirit. I mean, I got very spiritual. I started going to mass every day. Life was great. I had this like spiritual thing going, and I had my sin going, and I was still drinking and getting lots of attention. And anyway, I moved away. I graduated from college, moved away to Alabama, still doing my own version of all this stuff. And what eventually happened was I was doing this on my own, and I started. Even with abstinent food, I know I'd say I'm not normal around food. And when the going gets tough, I was turning to God. But what happened was I started getting obsessed with my food, my body image, and I became terrified of, I became obsessed with my spirituality. If I didn't go to Mass every day, I was terrified that, I would fall out of God's grace and gain weight again. And that just really scared me. I also have to say, during that time, I found Al-Anon. And it was the first time I ever told anyone that my mother was an alcoholic. And that was wonderful. And it was absolutely wonderful. And also, I thought, well, my problem is I'm the adult child of an alcoholic. And if I get that out of the way, I won't want to eat anymore. And, you know, as much as I worked that program, the food still got crazy for me. And what lingered in the back of my mind this whole time was get a sponsor and really do what those people back at those crazy meetings did way back there. And there's part of me that really wanted that, but I just wanted to keep trying to think I can do it on my own. I can get myself normal around food if I just try harder. And what happened was it became a full-time job of trying harder. By the end, I was, you know, exercising daily, going to Mass daily, obsessing about food. I'd sit in church after Mass and obsess about puffed wheat and raisins. And what scared me is that I started binging on what I considered at the time abstinent food, but I was hand-to-mouth with huge boxes of dried fruit. And my last binge was on 3 boxes of dried fruit in a can of prunes. I mean, nasty. And it really scared me, and I had moved back home thinking once I was back in my parents' house, it would be, you know, the geographic cure, things would be better. They weren't better. I was running out to the store late at night getting dried fruit. And my mother finally said, why don't you try it OA again? And I went in to a 90-day meeting on a Monday night and, you know, considering myself abstinent, got up and spoke. Thankfully, no one told me to sit down, but afterwards they all flocked to me and thanked God for service because people told me the meetings to go to, gave me phone numbers, and something broke in me. And by Thursday of that week, I had gotten a sponsor, or she got me, you know, this little Catholic, you know, pretty gaff J. Crew type athlete. Gets this eccentric, Jewish, never set foot on an athletic field sponsor, and it was exactly what I needed. And I remember driving home that night after she'd given me a food plan and said, call me in the morning, 6 in the morning. What? 6 in the morning. I thought, what had just happened? And I was terrified and excited both at the same time. And remember calling her the next morning terrified and thinking, you know, I was just like, I knew my game was up and there was something wonderful about that, but also just so demoralizing. And anyway, I got on the phone with her that next morning and she said to me in a, what I heard it as a very stern voice, and I'm knowing her, I'm sure it was a loving, maybe stern, said, Sarah, face it, you will never be normal around food. And I cried, and I was like, ah. Because that's what I was trying to get to for all those years. I just wanted to be normal. And the freedom in just the admission of, like, I will never be normal around food. And her follow-up statement was that you will never be normal around food, but if you work this program, you can have a normal life. And I heard it for the first time, and she said, I promise, you do what we do, and your life will get better. And, you know, I made a deal with myself. I will do exactly what these people tell me to do for 90 days. I will weigh my food. I will go to the meetings. I will make these phone calls. And if my life doesn't get better, I can always go back to doing it my own way. And, you know, slowly but surely, the beginning was really hard. You know, it was such a, I had to put my life on the shelf and just do this program. And I have to say that you know, the first, you know, 6 months were hard, and it got worse before it got better. But people, these normal people in normal bodies living their life, getting married, going to graduate school, traveling, like they were living. And they were weighing and measuring their food. They were going to meetings. They were taking sponsee calls. Like, I saw it was possible, and people kept promising me, don't eat, your life will get better. Make phone calls. Get on your knees. Get to, you know, work the steps. Get into an AWOL. And, you know, it got worse before it got better, but then when it got better, it got exponentially better. And I have to say, like, I have better things to do, you know, in sort of in the grand scheme of things. Wouldn't one think I have better things to do on a Saturday morning than to be here, and there's no place I'd rather be. That this program really has given me my life back. It has allowed me to go to a graduate school. It's allowed me to be in the same clothes. These shorts are 12 years old. Like, what a gift. You know, it's allowed me to have relationships, you know, to travel, to move away for 3 years and come back. The gifts are huge, and I have to always remember to not let the gifts that this program has given me get in the way of program. And so, you know, if people are out there and you're struggling, you know, just keep, I tried it for 4 years on my own. You know, it takes what it takes. But, you know, the key for me was getting a sponsor and surrendering and asking for help. The gift of this program is I'm not cured. I will never be normal around food. I can still do wacky things with my food, even in the name of abstinence. But the freedom I have today, I wouldn't trade for anything. And the gift of being able to pick up the phone and ask other people for help and share my insanity with them is the biggest gift, you know, and to have an understanding of a God in my life who, you know, God does for us, promises, says, you know, we find that God will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And if you don't have an understanding of who or what that God is, you know, get a sponsor. And that sponsor will put your hand in the hand of God, whoever God may be for you. So I'm really grateful for the opportunity to share. I'm grateful that I don't ever have to be alone in my disease again. And I'm grateful for the grace of God that keeps me abstinent day by day. So thank you.